The opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast, located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
Raven hair and ruby lips, sparks fly from her fingertips.
Witchy.
She held me spellbound in the night, dancing shadows and firelight.
Witchy.
Echoed voices in the night, she's a restless spirit on an endless flight.
Witchy.
See how high she flies? She got the moon in her eyes.
Witchy woman.
Brought to you by WKTV, I'm Wayne Thomas. Welcome to another Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. Before we meet our special guest, let's check in with my co-host. Kim has been with us since the beginning. She's a former Ghostbuster.
Yep. Hi, everybody. My name is Kim Colleen, and normal co-host with the Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast.
And Brandon, he's an incredible paranormal resource, and he's also a paranormal investigator. Welcome, Brandon.
Thank you. I'm Brandon from Kent County Paranormal. So.
And our very special guest is she's been here before is what I'd like to say.
No stranger.
You're no stranger to our show. She was here on our first year. She was here again last year. She was on my radio blog, Cryptic Frequencies. Please welcome the very mysterious Esther Joy.
Hi, everyone. I'm Esther Joy, tarot reader and artist.
Yeah, that list, come on now, that list.
That was way too short.
Founder of Happy Horse Co-op and 1990 The Art Collective.
I believe you have some psychic abilities too that you use when you're doing the tarot reading.
I do. I am clairvoyant. I have some clairaudience. I tap into as many as I can. Mm-hmm. I would say that clairvoyance is probably my main one that I work with though.
Yeah, all those clairs.
Yeah.
Those clair senses. I've found out that there's more of them that I wasn't familiar with, like a clair sense for smelling and tasting.
Yeah.
That's a couple that I wasn't familiar with until we did our last show.
Yeah.
Now, I used
what about
to run
clair audience? Do you have that?
Yes.
Audience?
That one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it shows up kind of funny sometimes where I have heard things outside of my own senses, like hearing your name called from a different room. But more often it ends up sounding like a loud thought in your own head, but in someone else's voice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate those explanations of how it works.
Yeah.
I used to run into you at Paddock Place. You were doing Tarot Tuesdays.
Yes, I actually just worked. I haven't been there since the pandemic started, except for I worked there 2 days over Halloween. And that was lovely.
Was that the macabre?
No, it wasn't the macabre event, but they were doing haunted mansion tours. I think, if I wasn't mistaken, because I was pretty busy all night, but I thought I saw Brandon just for a quick second.
Yeah, I was there. Our team was doing a presentation those two nights too.
Cool. So, well, I'm glad I got to see you from afar.
Yeah.
So Paddock Place right here in Grand Rapids. Esther, you're a homegrown Grand Rapids person?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, we like featuring local talent, and that's why you've been on the show so often before. we're always fascinated. So give us a little bit more background, and then I know Kim's going to want a reading, maybe Brandon too. I know there's a couple different readings that you can do, a question reading and then a general. But just give us some background.
Well, I have been reading tarot for just over 10 years now. I started reading professionally 2.5 years ago. Macabre was my very first to the public reading event. And I've been kind of going nonstop from there. This last year especially, it's taken off quite a bit, where I'm booking events and doing private readings on a regular basis. I got into it because I had a friend read for me, and I had grown up very conservative Christian, so I was taught that tarot and a lot of other things like that were very no-no, and so I had a lot of hesitation and reservations when she read for me, but it blew my mind. Blew my mind, and I couldn't get it off my mind for about a month, and finally I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get a deck. And then it took me a month to take the plastic off the deck because I ran to the library and got every tarot book I could find so I could educate myself before I dabbled in something I didn't know, and have been reading ever since.
So you are a student though, so I would think that you really did get into that pretty deep.
I did, yes. Yeah.
Are you done with school now?
No, I actually ended up taking this last semester off. After spontaneously starting a horse co-op, and with my pottery business, and then with the pandemic and everything being virtual, the virtual format is not a very good one for me. I'm too ADHD. And so I decided to take the semester off, and I plan on going back in the fall.
Oh yeah, it's different when your classes are coming over your computer. I had classes like that, and it wasn't for me either.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind trying it on purpose. But the transition of being in class and then transitioning to virtual with not a lot of room in between, it was a hard transition for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different world. I'm glad that you're able to keep this going though.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So are you doing readings at a location anywhere?
Nowhere in particular. Usually I will meet up with clients either in their homes or occasionally we'll meet like at a coffee shop or something like that. I'm looking forward to having an official reading space coming up by hopefully summer.
Okay.
Most of the people, including co-host here, had a very early introduction into the spookiness. Do you have anything, childhood or family?
Yes, definitely. I'm an empath. And so I can feel other people very strongly. And that's something that I've known since I was a kid. I just didn't know. So for me, when I'm feeling other people, it took me a couple years of paying attention to realize that when I'm feeling them, oftentimes it presents as feeling like it's coming from me. It just comes out of nowhere. And so I had a revelation just a couple of weeks ago, actually, where I am also a songwriter, and I was looking back at one of the first songs that I wrote, and the lyrics are pretty depressed. And I was recognizing that my younger self, I was feeling the depression of all of the people around me, and I didn't know how to express that. I didn't know where it was coming from. And so that was something, that was when I was 12. But I've had experiences of prophetic dreams and of, so prophetic dreams are very close with clairvoyance as well, where you're seeing something happen and then it happens. But that stuff, my very first conscious prayer when I was a kid was, "Dear God, please don't let me see demons." And so that's something that I've been interacting with non-physical entities my whole life.
Yeah, prophetic dreams. We've kind of discussed that with other guests here. So do you, like, you wake up, do you write them down?
Yeah. I've been documenting my dreams for years.
Do you dream in color?
Yes. Yeah. And sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know working with other psychic mediums, it's like they need to separate and try to figure out which feelings are their own and which belong to someone that they're reading.
Yeah. It takes a lot of discernment. And it's something that even now, when I've been doing it for years, if I'm not taking care of myself and taking time to do the self-care things that I need to do to, you know, get my alone time, I'm an introvert. So I need solitude to really recharge. If I don't take the time to do that, then I'll get really overwhelmed and it'll take me, I'll realize it after I've already kind of gotten swept away by the emotions of other people that it's like, wait a second, that's not even mine.
Yeah.
So
I have a question. Yeah. Do you actually have to be physically with the person in the same room, in the same, you know, so no. Like you could pick that up from me over Zoom?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's different. It's a different feel and it takes a little bit more focus on my part, but that's also just because I am still, you know, ever in a state of progress and development. So sure. I'm still learning, you know, it's definitely easier in person. Just because when you're doing virtual, for me, my biggest thing that I struggle with is self-doubt. So when you're virtual, then it's like when you're in person, you can feel it like you're, you know, like it's touching you on the face. But when it's virtual, you have to filter it through, well, what if I'm just projecting? Or what if that's, you know, what if, you know, what if that's something that I just made up? I don't know. It's the trusting yourself is the hardest part for me.
Yeah, I can understand that. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, the remote stuff is just fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandon can testify to this, that on the other side, they don't seem to have the same limits of time or space that we do in this physical world.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So tarot, there's a lot to know about tarot. I know I've done just a little bit of research. I have pages on it.
Yes.
Yeah. I've tried to research it a little bit too. And I'm like, when you said you learned that in a month,
No, I didn't learn it all in a month. I just learned enough to feel comfortable unwrapping my cards. No.
To me, that would take years because, yeah. I mean, just to flip a card and know exactly what that card means has to take an insane amount of time and study.
It does. Yeah.
So for people who don't really understand what tarot cards really are, do you have a simple explanation for them?
Yeah, or mostly simple. Tarot actually originated back in, I believe, the late 1700s as a card game that was used just to play around and communicate with other people. And it's since evolved into now it's used as a tool that uses symbols to communicate with your unconscious mind. And
it has nothing to do with communicating with the dead or spirits or
it's you can more definitely use it as a tool for that.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's more and every reader uses it differently.
Okay.
For me, I use it for working with the people that I'm reading for directly.
Okay.
Yeah. And then it can be a really good tool for confirming things when you're dealing with non-physical people, where I've had readings for somebody where they're like, I feel like this person's there. And then I'll flip over, you know, the King of Cups. And that's like, oh, well, that was your grandfather. Yes. So it can definitely be used for that.
Okay.
But mostly the way that I use it is for helping you kind of get a clearer idea of how you're feeling about things.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you to do it for me because I've got a lot on my mind.
Yeah. And,
do they have a tarot deck for dummies?
I'm sure they probably do. They have so many different kinds of decks. And it's really cool because every deck that you read from, it's kind of like having a conversation with a different person. So they each have their a different feel and a different style and a different kind of way of expressing yourself. So I work more with like a feminine energy for myself because that's a better match to me. I had a friend gift me a Toth deck, and that's a very masculine, very like ferocious energy to that deck. And I ended up having to actually give it away because I couldn't work with it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And it's cool. In the last 2 months, actually, I've been given like 3 different new decks. Oh. And it's really cool to start going into that and then learning, because I know you know, because of how much time I've spent learning about it, mm-hmm. I know what all of the cards mean on their yes. own, but yep. every different deck has a slightly different way of being interpreted. And okay. so like, yeah, it's cool. So with my regular deck, I've got a really established relationship with the with these cards. So I can read the same card four different ways for somebody because I know the nuances of what the other cards around it are talking about. But with a new deck, I have to read the book too. So there's yeah, nothing wrong with having it, to
it's funny because it's almost like the cards pick you. You don't pick the cards. The cards yeah. pick you as their yeah. owner.
It's true. And there's weird? A lot of, yeah, yeah sometimes. There's a lot of, like in the tarot communities, there's a lot of talk about, you're never supposed to buy your own deck. You're supposed to wait until it's given to you. And I don't personally agree with that. I don't get me wrong. I love it when people give me decks because yeah. that's a really special thing. Mm-hmm. But especially if you're really curious about it, go ahead and buy one. And you can, like, the deck that I work with, I got from Spirit Dreams in Easttown, and they have a magnificent variety of decks that you can choose from. And kind of similar to when you're picking a crystal, you just kind of feel for the one that really sticks out at you. And it's the one that what is that? And I want to look a little bit closer. That's mm-hmm. probably a good one to start with.
Okay. That's interesting. What's
your deck called?
I work with the Cosmic Tarot deck. Let me, and this is by Norbert Losch, which let's see if you can see this closely.
Cool yep. packaging.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful deck. And that one, I've worked with this deck for about 4 years. And this is the deck that I always go to when I'm reading for new people.
Okay.
Or if I'm reading for the public.
Sure.
What four suits are in your deck?
I have most decks are going to be using the pentacles or the coins, cups, wands, and swords.
Okay.
And the cups can sometimes be called chalices or something like that, but usually those are the four ones that are represented.
Mm-hmm.
Batons are sometimes called wands or rods or staffs.
Yep.
The coins are sometimes called pentacles or discs.
Yes.
So it's fascinating. When I looked up and did some research, what they said was tarot works. That's what they said in the article that I read. But I'm wondering, how does it work? Is it through your magic, through the magic of the cards, through the magic of the ceremony, the ritual? What makes tarot work?
I like to think that it's a little bit of all of that. Tarot works because, you know, ultimately these are pictures on a piece of paper. So mm-hmm. when it comes to anything that you're learning about in a new way like that, if it resonates, awesome. Take that with you. But if it doesn't resonate, don't take that home. Don't worry about, well, this card said, you know, I pulled the death card. Does that mean that I'm going to die? No, right. It does not.
Heaven forbid we get the death card.
That just means that you've got a lot of change going on in your life right now.
Oh, good.
So no, that's something, going back to your question though, that is, the cards will work for anybody. It depends more on the person reading of whether or not, you know, it's how much do you want to learn from them or how much do you want to see, but anybody can pick up a deck of cards and lay out a spread and use the book provided and get a quick reading. And most of the time that's going to be pretty accurate, or at least enough to be like, okay, there's something there. That's an, it's an oddly specific coincidence. And at a certain point, for me anyways, I had to be like, well, okay, that's not coincidence anymore. I've had too many funny experiences where what it is they are a tool that responds to your subconscious. So it will flip cards out randomly and they correspond with what you're thinking.
Wow.
It's really cool. And for me as a reader, there is, you know, there is an element of my own magic that I read when I'm reading for somebody, because I am basically being a conduit or a channel for the information that's coming out of these cards.
Exactly.
And giving you the meanings of what that is. And so that can change, kind of how I was saying, where I can read the same card four different ways for four different people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic that I bring to it.
Okay.
Being able to work with the channels that I've developed to be able to give you a clearer meaning of those words.
So cool. numerology or math come into it at all?
Yes, a little bit. So the tarot deck is split into two pieces. It has the major and the minor arcana, and the minor have a whole bunch of heavy hitting cards that's basically talking about the fool's journey through enlightenment. So it goes through, and each of those cards represent a different step on the way to a higher level of understanding. And the minor deck is separated into four suits that we were talking about before. And that is the coins, which usually represent money or stability. Swords, which are talking about work, trial, tribulation, and also sometimes verbal communication. Cups, which are talking about emotions. And wands, which are talking, it can also be work, but it's usually talking about passion, fire, or creativity.
I also read where the cups, pentacles, swords, and that they represent elements.
Yes. Yeah. Swords are air, cups are water, pentacles are earth, and wands are fire. And the numbers of those cards, because they're numbered 1 through 10, and then usually it's like a king, queen, knight, page, or in my deck, it's a king, queen, prince, princess. And each of the numbers have a meaning of their own that does correspond with the numerology. It's not so much math, though. It's more just the representation of those numbers.
I wonder if we could take a look at a couple cards, because I read that the worst card that could come up would be the Five of Pentacles, because it indication of rough times.
It can be.
It was a death card, but you said it doesn't necessarily mean death.
Yeah. It doesn't. Let me find it for you. The death card means big change. For me, let me see. I've got a couple. The Five of Pentacles is definitely a card. In this deck, it's talking about a sense of helplessness, where it's a situation that it feels like there's nothing that you can do about it. And I'm cycling through. Fives in general usually have an element of conflict to them.
Oh.
So in this deck, this is the Five of Pentacles, which let me see.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't look good.
It's not, it's definitely, it's a dire situation.
It looks like zombies.
This is the Five of Wands. And this is another, fives can be a little bit conflicting. And then here's the Five of Cups, which is talking about depression.
Looks like a vampire.
It's definitely talking about some heavier feelings.
Yeah.
So where fives are a little bit more agitated, a four is a number of stability. Oh. And so each number represents different things. So like ones are talking about new beginnings. Twos are usually talking about, you know, stably becoming on the path to whatever you're doing and a certain amount of balance involved there. Nines are you're almost to the 10. And sometimes that can be a really good thing, but sometimes that can be a really bad thing. So in this deck, the Nine of Swords is a stress card. And
oh, geez, there's like things coming at him.
Yeah, it literally feels like being stabbed in the back.
Oh, what's the snake? Is there a meaning to that big snake?
Yes. Snakes have a lot of different meanings often. In this one, it's talking about an element of deceit.
Yeah, but in general, like the symbol snake, of snake is actually is healing. Getting feared.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And that's another thing too, where the interpretation of that card though is that, hey, there is a situation that has been calling for your attention. That this one, so with the swords, let me see if I can find a couple more. With the swords, it starts knocking, basically. The message that accumulates to that Nine of Swords, and then the Ten of Swords is another one that's very, very heavy. It starts at the four, which is like, hey, you need to rest. You need to rest. And then the Five of Swords is like, hey, you are in a situation that it started off one way and it's changed, and now you feel like you're completely pinned down and in a box. And then the Six of Swords is, let's see, the Six of Swords is a little bit of moving out of troubled waters into better waters. But then the Seven of Swords is like, hey, this feels like there's someone cheating or lying. Like the level of stress increases as you go up in the numbers of cards.
Really? So the higher number, almost the worse it is in terms of stress level.
Well, with that particular suit, when it comes to cups,
okay,
it's completely different meaning.
But
more just talking a little bit about the level of intensity. And so So the higher the card, like 9 and 10 especially, are like, this is accumulation point. The 9 is like, okay, you're almost there. So in swords, which are a tribulation suit, then that's like, oh, not great.
It keeps trying to get the door open. It's been very distracting.
They talked about the 10 swords as being a man face down with 10 swords in his back.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like everything that you're trying for isn't working. And there's nothing, you know, everything that you keep trying is just failure after failure. And it feels like complete defeat. And the ten of swords is like, okay, time to do something.
Romance.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There's lots of romance. There's two especially that are the romance cards. And I had one of them actually pop up in a reading for a lady earlier today. So for romance, we have the lovers, which is a major card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's talking about wanting that connection with somebody. And then we have the two of cups, which is another connection card. And that's talking about that effortless connection. So this is more of a romantic intimacy, but this is just talking about intimacy in general and being able to connect with somebody without strife, without struggling for it. Mm-hmm. And then the two of them together means that you probably found a really special person.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you see, if these two pop up in a reading together ever, that means really, really strong emotions and strong relationship stuff.
Wow.
That's interesting.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Now, intro, we use witchy woman.
Yeah.
Is that, now I try to find something that's appropriate, that's significant to our guest.
That is very significant to me. I am a practicing witch, not through a specific religion, but I do identify as a witch and I do practice magic. The words that work good for me. And so I like it very much.
Cool.
Yeah.
So I looked some things up about witches. You know, they don't have a good rap, of course.
They don't.
But there's different things about them. You know, it's like you said, you just practice magical ritual spells. And
yeah. Yeah.
Someone has a spiritual connection, such as psychic medium, tarot reader.
Yeah.
So you can get that label.
Yeah.
Someone who worships pagan gods. They had some signs, you know, you could try to tell whether someone was a witch or not. And there was different ways that they could tell. They used to test bake. They'd take urine from the witch, make a rye flour cake, and then feed it to a dog. And if that dog acted like a witch, then she was a witch.
That sounds like a lot of work.
Oh yeah, I know, yeah,
but
basically they got that label if they were strong-willed, outspoken, powerful woman, and if they owned property.
Yes,
it was a way that men were trying to get that property away from them.
It's true.
Women, right?
Yeah, the suppression of witches has definitely been a tool to suppress women for a long time. Mm-hmm. And witch hunts in general, a lot of that time, because a part or an element of being a witch, or just being, you know, and I say that because that's what works for me. But generally speaking, when I use that term, I'm talking about a self-empowered person who's in tune with their own spirituality. And so when you move to a place of being able to listen to your own intuition and being able to tune into whatever powers bring you that sense of connectedness, that comes with a certain level of not buying into the stories that other people tell you if they don't resonate with your truth. And so then you become a lot less controllable, which is why that's been something to use against people. But also the main focus of that type of magic is in empowering other people and in healing people. And that gets in the way of certain agendas.
Some of the signs that they would look for back in Salem was if a woman talked to herself, that was a sign. She had a large number of pets.
Yep, familiars.
Got any cats back there, Esther?
I have four cats in my house right now.
The witch.
I got you beat. I got five.
Warlock.
And witches can be male as well.
Yeah, I thought originally it was a term for a male. If you have had a lot of marriages, birthmarks, scars, yep. But get this one. Extra nipple.
I've heard of that.
Oh, I heard of that on Bond movie, but that's the only time I think I ever saw it. Extra nipple.
Yeah, that's a thing. That makes me
silly to us now. But back in Salem, you know, when they were stoning people to death, stoning witches and taking their property away from them, it was funny.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know we want to get to the tarot reading.
Yeah.
So,
are you ready?
Is there any way we can see the cards, or are you just going to read them?
What I'll do is I'll hold them up for you as I'm reading them. I think that might be easier than trying to tinker with my camera right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but next time we'll set it up to where I can show you the whole thing.
Yeah. So don't you put them in a certain, I want to say like a cross, almost like a cross or something.
Yes. That's my go-to spread is the Celtic cross, which is one of the most common spreads that are used in tarot. Every book that you get is probably going to have a version of that.
Okay.
And you can do different spreads. I like that one just because it's very direct. And it's one that, because I've worked with it for so long, it makes it easy to kind of follow the story of what the cards are talking about.
When the cards are laid out in that shape, where they're specifically placed has a certain meaning as well. Is that correct?
It does. Yeah. And in every spread that you use, the placement of the cards has a meaning attached to it.
Yep.
And so this one is a 10 card spread. So the first card is representing you or the querent. The one on top of that, which is the cross, that's representing what's crossing you or what's on your mind. And the way that I read, the one directly below it is the basis of the question. The one to the left of it is talking about what's recently behind you. Above that is talking about what's going on right now. To the right of it is talking about looking forward. And then it comes back down to that basis of the question. And then the one to the right of that is giving a further influence on what that's talking about.
Okay.
And then above that one is a further, that it gives me two to work with on top of the original basis of the question. So it's like, here's what that's talking about. And then here's what the one that's talking about that's talking about.
Okay. And then as you go through it, maybe, you know, tell me where you're at since I can't see.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, yes, that would be great. And I'm going to take notes this time too.
Yeah. I usually, when I'm reading for people, I encourage them to record it. Because sometimes you can.
It makes a difference how you turn the card over, whether you turn it from left to right, top to bottom, and how it lands, whether the card's sitting up correctly or whether it's upside down.
Yeah, sometimes. The main thing for that, in my experience anyways, is that when you're turning left to right or left to right or right to left, that means that the card is going to stay flipped in the direction that it is when you lay it down. Right. Whereas if you flip it up, then it's going to be showing up reversed. Right. And some decks, not all, but some decks have different meanings for the different style. Like if you get it red, regular upright, then it means this. But if it's reversed, then it means something very different.
That's what I thought.
Usually, it means something different, it's still related. Yeah. Yeah. And then once I get done with this reading, what I'll do is I'll sketch out a real quick what it looks like when I've got them laid out. So
can you pull your camera down a little?
Yeah. Let me see what I can do.
Brandon.
I've got my notes.
Oh, mine?
Yeah. Just get it
on
the top of your head.
All right.
Perfect.
All right. So Kim, usually when I'm reading for people before the pandemic anyways, is I will have them cut the cards themselves.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to cut it into three piles and I'll let you pick which pile you want me to start with.
Oh, okay.
So it'll just be left, middle, and right.
Okay.
All right. And middle. I'm ready for you. Okay.
I heard you shuffling, so I really,
yes,
really good.
Yeah, I was ready for you.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so now I'm gonna flip them, and then I'll show you them as I'm going through.
Okay.
All right. So, first things first, when I start doing a reading, I do a quick look over it, and I look for major versus minor cards, because the major cards are a little bit more shouty. Yeah. But they speak with a more emphasized message, whereas the minor cards are kind of just giving you a quick, we're just going to look at a little bit of what's going on. So first things first, no major cards showed up in your reading. So it's a quieter spread. Okay. So first up, we have here, this is you, and this is the Three of Wands. So the Three of Wands is talking about finding your flow. And it's about being in a position where you feel really strongly that what you're doing is the right thing for you to be doing. And it feels like you really hit your stride and are kind of standing strongly in your own mojo, right? However, influencing that, we have the Five of Swords. And the Five of Swords, actually, we showed it earlier, and that's talking about that feeling of feeling a little bit pinned down right now. Specifically with that situation, it's talking about feeling pinned down by something that you entered into willingly. But since it started, it's changed a little bit. And so now that there's a little feeling of knowing that there's something that has to be adjusted, but not having full clarity on what it is yet. So you don't want to take that step until you know what that next step needs to be. So it's like you can get up and leave whenever you want, but getting up and leaving disrupts it in a way that you're not comfortable with. So it would violate your boundaries. So it's just like, all right, well, I'm where I need to be, but I also recognize that there's some things that are going to need my attention coming up soon.
Okay.
The basis of the question is the Nine of Cups. And the Nine of Cups is talking about emotional support. This is one of my most favorite cards actually in the whole deck, because this is talking about having or needing a support system. And so we'll come back to that one in a second, and we'll go a little bit more into that.
Okay.
So recently behind you, we have the Queen of Cups, and the face cards are usually talking about people, often talking about aspects of yourself. So in this case, I'll just tell you what the card means, and then we'll go into it until we know what it's talking about for sure. So this is talking about a queen who is, especially with it recently behind you, it's talking about the feeling of coming into a place of emotional maturity. So this is a very emotionally mature woman who is very kind, very compassionate, very, very tuned in, probably somebody who can look across the room and tell how somebody's feeling without even having to talk to them first. We'll come to her in a second, but my initial thought was that this is talking about you, and this is talking about being in a place where you are very much aware of your feelings and paying attention to where those feelings are coming from. And that's a really good place to be, because that means that you're not getting swept up by them all the time. Going on right now, we have the Ace of Wands. And the Ace of Wands is talking about new beginnings, specifically in an area of work or creativity. And it's talking about something that's really new and really exciting, and it fills with a lot of passion. And it's encouraging you to, when you have something big and new going on, the best way, especially if you're not entirely sure what the steps are to get there, and I'll hold it up again, because this one, see how it's got this zigzag up here?
Yeah.
This is talking about the importance of one step at a time.
Okay.
And when you're making steps in a direction that you want and you're not sure exactly what the step is, what you do is you feel for security. And once you're seated in where you are, then you feel for inspiration. And that's the direction of your next step, because that's your soul taking you on the path of least resistance. And sometimes it's not the most direct path in your mind, but it's the one that's going to teach you the lessons to get past the blocks to get you where you want to go.
Okay.
My cat's trying to get in the room. So going forward, we have the Prince of Swords. And the Prince of Swords is usually talking about a young man. This young man is very, very articulate, very perceptive. probably almost a little too smart for his own good. And this is probably talking about if you have a young man who's a strong influence in your life, somebody that you're around a lot, it's probably talking about him. Otherwise, it could also potentially be talking about so how the queens are representing the maturity, the princes and princesses are talking about a younger aspect. So it could be talking about somebody who's maybe a little bit less mature in his verbal communications. Could be either or.
Could it be her and son? That,
very likely, yes.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Makes yeah. sense. Usually, my first question when those cards show up is usually, do you have children? Because that's yeah. oftentimes they stay real close to your heart, and so they show up in the cards all the time.
Oh my gosh.
So, coming back down here to this Nine of Cups, this is the emotional support card, and influencing that we have the Eight of Pentacles. And the Eight of Pentacles is talking about learning how to narrow your focus and learning how to direct your focus onto the things that you really care about and really care for. So influencing that. So we have the Eight of Pentacles, and then we have the Seven of Pentacles influencing that. And that is a little bit of, it's a little bit of a depression card that's talking about a little bit of a feeling of despair and a situation that you don't have any control over. And so that can be a very consuming place mentally. And so the Eight of Pentacles is talking about the lesson of being able to, in those moments of, you know what, stuff happens and stuff can be terrible. And what do you do with that when something happens like that? So the Eight of Pentacles is talking about being able to refocus on your surroundings. And for me, I'm a very textural person. Mm-hmm. So I'll use crystals or I'll use, you know, my pets, where it's something that I can touch to bring me back to being where I am right now. And like, this is the, okay, there's not something I can do about that right now. And I don't want to spend my whole time worrying about something that I can't do anything about. So this is the card of being able to bring your focus back to, here's where I am. Here's what I love. Here's the focus. You know, we live in a universe that's run by the law of attraction. So what you focus on is what you get more of. So when there's a situation that you can't do anything about, you don't want to spend all your time focusing on it, because then it just makes it worse. So then it's like, all right, well, let me bring my focus over here, because while that's there and I don't know what to do, I have other things that I can put my energy into that feel better. Mm-hmm. And so this is the card of being able to not, it's, and it's not in a, we're going to pretend it's not their way. It's like, I know it's there, but I'm not going to give that my time right now. I'm going to bring my focus in, and I'm going to focus on this thing in front of me that I care about and that I want to feed. So going forward, we have hopes and fears. And here we have the Princess of Wands. And the Princess of Wands is talking about a young woman. Likely, if you have a young woman in your life, this one is very fiery, very passionate, very creative, very spontaneous. She warms up the whole room when she walks in. And, you know, if she gets mad, she's probably absolutely ferocious.
Ooh, I think I know who that is. I have a teenager.
There you go. There you go. All right. So going forward, we have the Nine of Swords. And I shuffled a lot. So
yeah, look at that. Came up
twice. This is a stress card. So it looks like whatever that situation is that you're feeling a little bit trapped in, that's not going to go away right now. But that's also something that, you know, don't worry about it, but that's so much easier said than done. So I pulled another card for that, because that's not a fun note to end on. It's like, so there's going to be stress. Great. However, influencing that, I have the Four of Pentacles. And the Four of Pentacles in this deck, it shows up as a counseling card. And so this is the card that's talking, a counseling card.
Oh, a counseling. Okay.
Yeah. So this card is talking about, especially in those moments of feeling really, really stressed, this is a card to remind you to utilize your support system, because you have emotional support and it's important to call on them when you're having moments of not feeling super solid in that.
Yep.
Call your people. Okay. This is also the card of an actual like professional therapist, if that's something that you're interested in, or if that's something that you have. Mm-hmm. This is a you're already working on it card, and to make sure that you're talking to who you need to talk to. Yep. When you're having those moments, because you've got help.
Okay.
Well, she has a teenager, so she's going to have stress. Cancer survivor.
Yes.
So that's something you don't get over.
No, there's trauma there.
Live with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then the last one that I pulled with that is the Three of Pentacles, and that's the Apprentice card. So that's saying that you're doing the work already, you know, especially with that Four of Pentacles there. That's a hand in hand. You know, you're doing the work. Hang in there and stick with it.
Well, that's a good message. Cool. Is that it?
Yep, that's it.
Well, I think we need to see how Brandon's reading might be different than this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here, let me shuffle these up for a quick second.
Well, let me just say, Esther, you are smack on.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm literally blown away right now. It's like, I'm like chills.
Oh.
Like, I've got the hairs on my arm. You've actually done this reading, and it's amazingly close to home.
Oh,
like, my whole body is just full of chills right now.
Yeah.
I almost feel cold. Look, I've got, you can't see it, but I got goosebumps.
I think we can see
that's that physical confirmation.
I literally have goosebumps. I don't know if you can see them, but I've got goosebumps.
Esther, do you ever get a spiritual surge or anything like that when you're reading?
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, and it depends sometimes, but that's, yeah, absolutely. Especially, there's been some that I've done that have been, you know, like, it'll be a reading in public or a reading where there's other people around and I have to pause and be like, are you okay with talking about this?
Yeah.
In front of people, because sometimes stuff can come up and it can get really personal very quickly. And it's like, okay, well, let me just check in real quick.
Well, let's go. No, absolutely. Very personal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It taps right in.
Okay, twice. Brandon, I am so ready for this.
All right. I'm almost ready. Give me a couple more shuffles.
Yep.
Is there a devil card?
There is a devil card, yes.
Is there an angel card too then? The opposite?
There is not, but there is a star.
Star.
And that is pretty close. Temperance is also very close to being an angel. Sometimes in some decks it is an angel. All right, Brandon, are you ready for yours?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna set it up the same way that I set up Kim. So I'm gonna cut it into three piles. I'm gonna do one more. All right. So now we've got left, middle, or right?
Left.
Okay. And I'm setting these ones up the same as I set up Kim's in that Celtic cross. All right, for yours is not very shoddy too. However, you have a major card as your very first card. So first things first, here's you. And this is the Hanged Man. So the Hanged Man is talking about patience, literally hang in there, and delayed gratification. So this would suggest that you are a very patient person, and that when you go about doing things, you do it looking at the farther game instead of the immediate game. And that's something that is a very core part of who you are. Influencing that, we have the Four of Cups. And the Four of Cups is, if the Four of Cups was summed up into one word, it would be meh. And that is, it's talking about where everything's fine, everything's pretty good. You know, it doesn't feel like, hey, everything's great, you know, razzle dazzle fancy, but it's also not bad at all. And there's a contentment in things being quiet and calm and where they are. And the cups are specifically talking about emotionally. The basis of the question, we have another four, and that's talking, the fours are talking about stability. The Four of Wands is talking about family and maintaining that balance of your family spiral. Would suggest that family is quite important to you.
Yes, Brandon is a family guy, especially I think nieces and nephews, right, Brandon?
Yeah.
I have a couple people popping up, so I bet they'll come up. Recently behind you, we have the Nine of Wands. And the Nine of Wands, we actually have two wand cards that will come up to the next one in a little bit here. But the Nine of Wands is talking about stick to your guns. It's a passionate card, and it's the card of knowing what you're doing, knowing what you're working for, and knowing that your work is going to pay off, which goes super hand in hand with that Hanged Man, which is that delayed gratification, being able to see the long game and working steadily and dedicated towards something important to you. And then going on right now, we have the Prince of Cups, and the Prince of Cups is talking about a young man, very passionate, very deep feeling all the time. Probably a healer, somebody who knows the right words to say at the right time and can feel from across the room when somebody is having a bad time and can go and say the perfect thing or give them the perfect hug. Also, I'm sure when he's having a hard time, he can be a little bit moody, but heart of gold. Definitely there's a snake in this picture as well, wrapped around a pole. This is the healer card for this young man. So going forward, we have the Nine of Pentacles. And this is the card. You've got two nines on both sides of your Hanged Man and Four of Cups. So the Nine of Pentacles is talking about building your kingdom. This is talking about the work that you put into creating the space around you that is exactly what you want. And sometimes that comes in the form of having to pull away a little bit from other people, but it's not because of wanting to isolate. It's just because I love you, but I don't have time for that right now. I have to work on this because this is really important to me. And also, it's building your space around you to have it exactly the way that you want. This is, what do I want in my castle? So going forward and coming back to this family spiral cycle, influencing that, we have the Seven of Wands. And the Seven of Wands is talking about dealing with a certain amount of adversity. This card, especially with the Nine of Wands up here, Nine of Wands is stick to your guns. The Seven of Wands is a little bit of like defend yourself, where there's like, it's like the Wonder Woman gauntlets where you're like, ping, 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 ping. People are wanting to express opinions that are not necessarily important. Hold on 1 second. I am so sorry. I forgot to turn off my volume. Okay. So that Seven of Wands is, all right, you're sticking to your guns and people have opinions about it. So influencing that, we have the Princess of Pentacles. And the Princess of Pentacles is talking about a young woman who is very grounded, very nurturing, very sweet, very generous, probably very stubborn. but she's probably really good with like plants, animals, kids, just a general earth child. And somebody who taking care of her home and taking care of her people is very, very important. And then not influencing that, but the very next card is in the Hopes and Fears, and that's the Queen of Pentacles. So it almost feels like this is a young woman that is learning herself, and that your hope for her is to develop into a strong, mature, grown woman who is very grounded, very developed in her own intuition and in her own identity, and being able to kind of create the world around her that she wants as well. And then going forward, we have the Eight of Pentacles. It's also possible that this might be her mother, just on a side note. Not sure, but that'll be for you to know. And if you have any questions where you don't know what everybody's talking about, just let me know and we can find out more about it. But final going forward card is the Eight of Pentacles again. And that one is talking about, again, it's talking about being able to hone your focus and bring your focus in, especially when you're dealing with a little bit of pushback on things, of being able to kind of be like, I'm not going to worry about that right now. I need to bring my focus into this thing that I'm working on right now, because you've got a lot of pentacles, which is talking about stability, grounded, and also money. but this is, I'm working here. I'm working on something, I'm building. And so therefore I need to use my focus on things that are actively in line with what I'm trying to do here.
Hmm. Well, Brandon, I think, is very patient.
Yes.
Patient person.
Very patient, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of stuff I can kind of hit on without really going into, because I don't want to go into detail about stuff going on in my personal life.
Right.
There's a lot of it that definitely kind of matched with me, kind of with what's going on. Good. And I know, like, the one part, like, even like trying to decide, like, with my team, like, what role I wanted to take, of kind of going into a different role and stuff with that, because I'm pursuing something else. So I was trying to find that balance between the two.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Good. Well, good. I'm glad that it works for you.
Yeah. Nice. That's really interesting. You know, we're not going to get into crystals, probably not into your pottery.
That's okay. Well, that's something. My friend Michelle is the lady to talk to about crystals. The crystals that I have to show you are ones that she gave me, and I've been studying them with a book that she gave me. And this is The Book of Stones, Pocket Crystals by Robert Simmons. She gave this to me with a whole gift of crystals.
Wow.
And I've been studying them myself, but she's somebody that has really,
what crystals did she give you?
She gave me a whole bunch, but the ones that I have today, I have a clear quartz crystal. She has a Lemurian seed crystal, this one's a cool one to look up. And then I also have black tourmaline and snowflake obsidian.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Is that kind of bluish in there?
Say that again.
Is it bluish?
Nope. This one is black and white. That's probably just my light in my room. It's one of my favorites. It's a really good one. Very healing.
You gave me that fossil. That was incredible.
I mean, that was
how old
that was thing. The petrified squid, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, those ones are really cool.
They look like
they grow in these giant clusters.
Yeah, that was neat. We need to move on. Believe it or not. It went so fast. We got to have you on again. And then we'll talk crystals.
I love coming on. It's always so good to be here and talk to you guys.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely have you on before the year's over.
Great.
So move right into shout out. And then our shout out would be to our last guest, Intuitive April, the psychic housewife of New Jersey, and Mama Mary sat in and co-hosted, a guest co-host. And then upcoming events will be Tyra Clark from Arkansas X-Files. I mentioned her, that we were going to go to Arkansas.
The glow in the dark.
I'm wondering if it does. It kind of looks like it might.
Yeah, right. That it does.
So it's going to be interesting to talk with somebody who's a ghost hunter, because I know you do a little bit of ghost hunting too.
I do a little bit, yeah.
Right. And we did some of that at the Paddock Place even. Who else we want to give a shout out to? We got Bigfooters coming. We got Phil Shaw and Linda Pomeranke of the Lost Cryptids Conservatory, and they're both from West Branch Bigfoot Committee. Kim set up a couple people.
I've got a couple ladies. One is from Louisiana. She's an empathic and clairaudience since being a child. Very heavily into the Louisiana Caribbean voodoo style of living with you know, that Cajun way of living where they live a certain way, which is maybe considered voodoo to some, but it's not to them because it's more of a way of life to them. So we'll be talking a lot of voodoo with that.
Yeah.
And then also another lady who has her whole life been able to see and communicate with spirits and ghosts. And she is actually the opposite of Esther. She does not like the tarot card. she actually believes that it lies to her.
Well,
so
they're definitely not for everyone.
Very interesting, different read from someone who likes to stay away from tarot card reading, but she may also talk about her favorite haunted location, which is called Mansfield Reformatory in Ohio. So in her opinion, one of the most haunted places on the planet.
Yeah, we got some spooky people coming up.
We do.
It's going to be cool. People.
It's going to be interesting season, being able to Zoom all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
For final thought, I picked, I got this quote from Dylan Thomas. He said, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at the close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." I'm 66 years old, so I might have a little different perspective than you young people. But I'd like your opinion on that. Do you think, you know, as you get close, you need to hang on to life or just move on? You know, let's start with Brandon on that one.
Well, we're getting close to death, whether to hang on or to move on.
Yeah, do you need to rage against the light?
It kind of depends on your situation, I think. Like, everybody's situation's different. Some of them where it's the time to move on, and other times there's time where it's, you got to hang on for, you know, for a while longer and battle to hang on. So like, there might be something that's unresolved that you can't move on until you're able to resolve it, you know?
Yeah, good point. It kind of depends on your quality of life. You know, mm-hmm. young people, when they die, it's too soon. Sometimes old people and people that are sick, death doesn't come quick enough almost. But Kim, I think you've got a little different perspective on this maybe.
Yeah, I think, you know, having dealt with cancer over the last 2 years, my mentality is live for today. Do what you have to do to fulfill your dreams. If you need to go on a vacation with your family, go. Don't wait. Don't put it off till tomorrow. Do what you have to do today to make your dreams come true.
Nice.
And make your life as happy as you can.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Esther Joy, what do you think? Do we need to rage against the light?
I think I agree with Brandon a lot in the sense that it very much depends on the individual. We all come here for different reasons. And so how you feel about death, that's a very personal thing. You know, so for me, I agree with Kim too. And like, hey, you know, if you live as much as you can live all the time, then there's nothing to rage against.
When my mother was fighting cancer, she was going through chemo and radiation. They gave her a time limit. She mm-hmm. lived over 2 years longer than what they said, but mm-hmm. she was clinging. She was raging.
Yeah.
And for some people, maybe that is the right answer. She wasn't mm-hmm. ready to go until she was ready. And then she went quietly after that. But yeah, I think it does depend. It depends mm-hmm. on your quality of life.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So inspirational thought, and then we'll be done. You may know this. You may have seen this gal, young lady, Amanda Gorman. She was mm-hmm. at the presidential inauguration.
Oh,
she
yeah.
was at the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I've condensed her poem that she did in the inauguration, because this poem actually teared me up when I heard her doing it. And that doesn't happen a lot, not with somebody reading a poem. So here's a condensed version. When day comes, we ask ourselves, where can we find light in this never-ending shade? Somehow we've weathered and witnessed a nation that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. So we lift our gaze not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. This is true. Even as we grieved, we grew. We will rebuild, reconcile, and recover. Our people, diverse and beautiful, will emerge battered and beautiful. When day comes, we step out of the shade, aflame and unafraid. The new dawn blooms as we free it. For there is always light, if only we are brave enough to see it. If only we are brave enough to be it. I think it's a good message. You know, Gandhi said it like this: be the change you want to see in the world. So we can't sit back and just expect the world to change by itself. We have to be making that change. So I think it's a wonderful message, especially with where we're at right now in the world and in this country with the COVID and all that. Yeah. Great show.
Yeah.
Kim, always a pleasure to see you. Brandon, we'll see you in a little while. Esther, yeah. Joy, fascinating.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Thank you. Good night. Peace out.
Bye.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.